Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Hope you guys had a great Tuesday, enjoyed some action on the diamond, and are ready for a full day of Wednesday. We had a lot of day games, evening games. We have 14 total games of action, but should be an absolute blast around baseball. Let's get you caught up with some news and notes from the diamond. Lots of injury talks, but let's talk with a positive one from Tuesday, April 9th. The Baltimore Orioles, they're doing it, folks. Jackson Holliday, top prospect of the Orioles, shortstop Jackson Holliday, getting the call to join the Orioles and likely take Ramon Urias' spot in the lineup. That has not been made official, but all things point that direction. Obviously, things can change, but Holliday and the Norfolk team are crushing everything in baseball. But so far through nine AAA games, Holliday's hitting .342, two home runs, stolen base, 18 runs scored. It's been quite productive there for Jackson Holliday. We'd imagine Jackson Holliday slides into shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, with Gunnar Henderson moving over to third base. Gives them a fun infield of Westberg, Holliday, and Henderson. There's a lot of youth on their team. You already got Kowser starting to play maybe a little more regularly in the outfield with Santander and Mullins. You got Kierstead in the minors. Outfield's kind of crowded there, so not sure when he's going to come up. That was a fun question on Tuesday night's Bubba in the Blue. When's Kierstead coming? Kind of a logjam to make that one work, but injuries always fix that. So we'll wait and see. But for now, Jackson Holliday of the Baltimore Orioles will join the big club on Wednesday. Some positive news out of Toronto. Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson both started the season on the IL with their injuries. Both Romano and Swanson expected to pitch in a rehab outing on Thursday in AAA. If all goes well, both should be activated shortly afterward. Those are the reports. Maybe one more rehab assignment, but early next week looks like a good time for Romano and Swanson to rejoin the Toronto Blue Jays. Other Blue Jays news, Danny Jansen is progressing nicely in his rehab. He's now started swinging a bat with no restrictions, which is great for his hand issue, and is still on track for a late April return. They need it because Alejandro Kirk ain't cutting it right now. We know Trevor Story suffered the bad shoulder injury, but the final nail in the coffin took place on Tuesday as there was the initial scans that showed potential bone structure issues, and by the end of Tuesday, Trevor Story is going to have surgery on the shoulder. He'll be out 6 months. So there goes 2024. 2025 could be interesting, to be honest, at least the start of it. So long ways away to discuss that. For the now, though, we mentioned Romy Gonzalez got called up. The reports added from Alex Cora is Romy Gonzalez and David Hamilton will platoon at shortstop. It's kind of a bummer because we've seen both be productive on their own. We'd like one of them to get a chance to play every day. Let's wait and see how the rest of this week plays out for the Red Sox, if they actually are in a platoon or if it's all coach speak trying to motivate the young players. We'll see. Vaughn Grissom is still rehabbing his way back. He's supposed to play second base, but Cora said the Red Sox will introduce him to short from time to time to give them some more depth there. We know Zidane Rafaela can play second base and shortstop also, but they just paid him big bucks to be the center fielder. They want him to play center field, but he might get some action in the middle infield as well. So lots of moving parts there. Romy Gonzalez and David Hamilton for sure. Vaughn Grissom for sure at second at some point. So let's just keep it all in mind. Pay close attention to how these lineups come out for the Red Sox the rest of this week before the weekend fab. More Red Sox news. Nick Pivetta was placed on the IL with a right elbow flexor strain. The team says it's a minor injury. They don't expect him to miss too much time. But let's be honest, folks. How often is this just a minor injury anymore? The Red Sox called up left-handed pitcher Brennan Bernardino, but he's been a reliever in the minors, and the Red Sox don't really need a starter till next week, so they're hoping that Pivetta can get going, and they won't name his replacement until next week when they actually need said starter. Sawyer Gibson-Long, rehabbing from a groin injury, lasted three innings in his rehab start and was done after experiencing forearm tightness. He's being further evaluated for this, which is just a big bummer. You know, besides Nick Pollock's love for SGL, we could have enjoyed watching him this year. He would have been the next man up when Kenta Maeda likely goes down with something. So no SGL for now. We'll wait and see what Gibson Long's results are from his MRI and whatnot. If it's serious, if we ever look at any silver lining here, it just means Jackson Jobe's one pitcher closer to joining the Detroit Tigers. Hey, stop me if you heard this before. Another injury. Josiah Gray of the Washington Nationals was scratched from his start on Tuesday with a forearm flexor strain. Now, Gray, on the other hand, said his MRI showed no structural damage, and it's that it's purely a muscle issue. That we'll see how it goes. Yoan Adon took the mound in Gray's spot on Tuesday. Gray went on to talk about he felt the issue after his first start. So the Nats and Gray monitored the situation, didn't throw a bullpen, didn't do anything because he still felt something. And the doctor said that might have prevented any further damage, which makes sense. He didn't throw the ball. But a lot of these guys that get that first little tweak, like Shane Bieber felt it after his first start, threw a whole nother start, which means multiple bullpens in there, just tearing and tearing and tearing, that if you sometimes stop, rehab it. We've seen guys pitch because every pitcher has a tear in their UCL right now. That's just reality. So Josiah Gray did the smart thing, sat back, watched. Again, maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe he gets blown up. Maybe we find out on Wednesday he's having TJ. Who knows? But just to hear him say that, he made a very, very vocal point in his interview to mention they shut things down until he was ready to go, and that might have saved his season. Julio Teheran of the New York Mets, after getting rocked by the Braves on Monday, Teheran was DFA'd after one start. Shocker. Mets, you signed Julio Teheran first. That's your first problem. Then you put him up against the Braves. What did you think was going to happen? The Mets called up right-handed pitcher Didale Nunez for now, but that'll probably be temporary bullpen help, as the expectation is Jose Buto gets the call to pitch on Sunday. Buto threw six innings while allowing one run and striking out six in his first start of the year against the Detroit Tigers. Wilson Contreras of St. Louis returned to the lineup on Tuesday. That's cool. But man, his words were sketchy. He's been battling his hand injury after getting hit on the hand by a pitch, and he hasn't been able to play. It's game time decision, game time. Well, he played on Tuesday. He hit fourth. He DH'd. He told reporters before the game that the hand injury still does not allow Wilson Contreras to squeeze his glove. He still has some pain when swinging the bat. That's not good, folks. Like, that's IL, get it better, kid. That's just reality. So this brings me back to one of my things I was pounding the desk on in preseason when it came to catchers. People make fun of me because I love catchers, because I write about them a lot in the preseason. And Yvonne Herrera, love Yvonne Herrera. It was just a matter of playing time. I thought he was a great catcher three in DCs. I said the second he gets regular playing time, he's at least a catcher two. He's been playing every single game at catcher since Contreras got hurt. When Contreras has been out of the lineup, Herrera batted cleanup. On Tuesday, when Contreras moved back to cleanup, Herrera batted sixth. The dude can hit. He's going to play. He's played six straight games at catcher for the Cardinals. This is the time, because I could see Contreras needing an IL stint when all is said and done here. So Yvonne Herrera, if you're in need of catchers, depending on your leagues, depending on who you have, so on and so forth, definitely put in a look on him. Kyle Bradish of the Baltimore Orioles continues to progress in his rehab and is set to start a rehab assignment in single A any day, hopefully Wednesday or Thursday. We'd imagine that Bradish needs three, maybe four rehab starts to get back to go, which puts him at a late April, early May return. Bradish seems like a great stash right now if he's available on your waiver wire, especially with all the pitching injuries that are adding up. Bradish way ahead of schedule, which is great to see. Max Kepler of the Minnesota Twins has been dealing with a knee contusion since he fouled a ball off of his knee on opening day. Well, on Tuesday, Max Kepler hit the IL with said knee contusion. Michael Tonkin, pitcher that got DFA'd by the Mets, was picked up to help with pitching depth for Minnesota. Matt Wallner should see more playing time in Kepler's absence. Well, we got Mets'd when it came to J.D. Martinez, folks. On Monday's show, or actually yesterday's show for Tuesday, I mentioned J.D. Martinez was dealing with regular soreness. You know, he signed. He said he needed some time to get loose in the minors. 10 days, sure. Goes to the minors. He's got general soreness. Going to shut down for a couple days. Should be back on Friday to join the Mets. Well, we got Mets'd on Tuesday because a report came out that J.D. Martinez has been dealing with lower back pain, and he got a cortisone shot in his back on Tuesday, which puts him out for 3 to 5 days before ramping back up. So we're hoping at best we get JD back middle to end the next week. That's where we're at with JD Martinez. It's been a wild ride watching this whole thing shake out. We know Framber Valdez missed Monday's start. We know all that, but he's officially placed on the IL with elbow inflammation on Tuesday. He'll be shut down for a few days before they reevaluate things and the swelling goes down. Astros are optimistic. Well, you should be, of course. Spencer Arrighetti, big-time prospect for the Houston Astros, is set to make his MLB debut for the Astros on Wednesday. He's one of the top prospects in the pitching system, showcased really, really strong strikeout stuff throughout the minors. But just peeking at his stats and everything, I'm not a prospect guru. A lot of walks, propensity to get the long ball as well. So we'll see how this goes. He had a big spring. Some people thought he should have made the team out of camp. He's getting his chance here. If he throws well, be prepared to put some crazy fab bids in on Sunday when he gets to face the Braves, I believe, next week. So buckle up. Yoan Moncada left Tuesday's game with a left abductor strain. Moncada's been dealing with a groin injury, and when he tried to run from home to first on a ball, he collapsed and didn't even make it to first base. This looks really, really bad. There'll be more testing on Wednesday for the extent of Moncada's injury. There's pretty much no chance he doesn't go on the IL. Early reports say Oscar Colas is getting called up, a guy we've seen at times. Really good in the minors, hasn't really put together in the bigs yet. So far this year at AAA, Colas 321 average with a home run and a steal. He's a fun one if he gets regular playing time in deeper formats. I could see some upside there. JT Realmuto took a ball in the neck chin area that bounced from Zach Wheeler on Tuesday. He left the game in pain, and after the game, the report was Realmuto had a bruised chin and no concussion. They're going to do further testing on Wednesday morning to see what Realmuto is doing. You'd imagine he misses a day or two to get right, one would say. All right, let's check out some hitting highlights from Tuesday. Shea Langeliers, 3-for-4, 3 home runs, 3 runs scored, 4 RBIs, drove in all 4 A's runs in the W. Langeliers now hitting 250 with 4 home runs on the season. This is what he does. Going to hit for a low average, lots of power. Edward Olivares, a guy we've always wanted to see get regular playing time, playing pretty good for the Pirates. On Tuesday, Olivares 2-for-4, 2 home runs, 2 runs scored, and 2 RBIs. So that's 2 solo shots for Olivares. On the season through 8 games, Olivares hitting 321 with 3 home runs. Slow start to the year for James Outman, might be getting fixed here. Outman went 2-for-4 with a home run, a run scored, and 3 RBIs on Tuesday. He's only hitting .175 on the season, but over the last 2 games, Outman's 3-for-8 with 2 home runs in Minnesota. For more information on the day's top hitters, make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on pitcherlist.com. Some starting pitching highlights from Tuesday. Could not talk about Tyler Glasnow. 7 shutout innings, 3 hits, no walks, 14 strikeouts against the Twins. That matched a career high for Glasnow. He had 21 whiffs, a 48% CSW on 88 pitches. First pitcher since 1988 to go 7 innings with 10 or more Ks, no walks on less than 90 pitches. Amazing stuff from Tyler Glasnow. Carlos Rodon, 6 innings, no earned, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks in his outing versus the Miami Marlins. Rodon had 12 whiffs and a 24% CSW on 89 pitches. Average velo is up to 96 for Rodon. That is good things we like to see. Well, hopefully. Ronaldo Lopez, 6 innings, no earned, 2 hits, 3 walks, 6 Ks for the Atlanta Braves as his reintroduction to the rotation is looking good. Lopez at 11 whiffs, 27% CSW on 94 pitches. And then I want to throw out Sonny Gray, a guy I've been hyping up all draft season for the ADP dip. He returned to the rotation after his hamstring injury. 5 innings, no earned, 5 hits, no walks, 5 Ks, picked up the win on Tuesday. He was going to be 65 to 70 pitches. Well, in those 5 innings, Gray had 6 whiffs, a 27% CSW on 64 pitches. Good to be back, Sonny Gray. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch Podcast with Nick Pollock and read his daily SP Roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. Relief pitching highlights from Tuesday. Kyle Finnegan picked up his 4th save of the year against the Giants. Jason Foley picked up his 3rd save of the year for the Tigers, while Shelby Miller picked up his 3rd win out of the back end of that bullpen. I've been pumping Miller up in recent Fab articles for this reason. Michael Kopech looked much better in this outing, picked up his 2nd save of the year, 2 innings, firing 100-plus, getting the Ks, looked much, much better. Clay Holmes picked up his 5th save of the year for the Yankees. Chad Green, his 2nd save of the year for the Jays. Just remember, Romano and Swanson should be coming back very soon. Raisel Iglesias picked up his 2nd save of the year for the Angels. James McArthur picked up the win for the Royals, picked up a couple saves lately, picked up the win as the Royals won in extra innings against Houston. Ryan Helsley picked up his 4th save of the year for the Cardinals. Mason Miller of the A's, thanks to that Shea Bangaliers home run in the 9th off Leclerc, Miller picked up the save for the A's, his 1st of the year. Kevin Ginkle picked up his 1st of the year for the D-backs. And Pete Fairbanks, after a rough go in Coors, now in Anaheim, picked up his first save of the year for the Rays. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on pitcherlist.com for all things relief pitching. All right, before we take a look at Wednesday's action on the diamond, let's take a quick break, hear from our sponsors. And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by pitcherlist.com. I'm your host, Brian Inchikin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. We have a six-game early and a seven-game main slate on DFS. We'll talk about the seven-game main slate. Starts at 6:40 p.m. Eastern time. Bats, Texas against Ross Stripling. Padres versus Hendricks. Atlanta versus Quintana. Cincinnati in Great American Small Park versus Miley. Miley's first start off the IL. Pitchers, Marcus Stroman versus Miami. Cody Bradford versus Oakland. And if you need a punt, Ryan Weathers versus the Yankees. Not a lot of great pitching on the main slate. Just not great pitching at all. So do what you got to do to make things work. Things I'm looking forward to on Wednesday, Jordan Hicks of the Giants, the homer in me, and I have a lot of draft shares of Jordan Hicks going up against the Nationals. It'll be Hicks' third start since returning to the rotation. Looked really good in his first two, so looking forward to this as the Giants try to avoid the sweep at home against the Nats. Bobby Miller bounced back versus Minnesota, question mark. Miller got destroyed in Wrigley, looking to see if he can get it going against Minnesota. Spencer Arrighetti getting his debut against the Royals. That should be fun. And then Alan Winans picking up the start in place of Strider against the New York Mets. That'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch Podcast in the books. Before we head on out of here, make sure you go to pitcherlist.com. Go check out PL Pro. You're not going to regret it. All the cool stuff, the Discord, all the community in the Discord is great. Regular baseball, fantasy baseball, much, much more. Plus, you get new content, PLV Plus. There's going to be some podcasts, videos, and more coming up there. And you're in front of the line for anything new that comes to pitcherlist.com. So go check all that out. Become a member at PL Pro. That'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Wednesday's action on the diamond. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast Wednesday, April 10th edition. Hope you have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.